Welcome back to the third episode in our series of Hours to Protect. Hours to Protect is brought to you by Midwest Radio, the IBI, and funded by Commission Limón, with the television licence fee. In this month's episode, we will hear from students in Holy Trinity National School, Westport, about all of the work that they did to achieve their Rising Star Award as part of the Our World Awards. As part of their work, they took part in the Picker Pals programme. We'll hear from Picker Pals programme manager Gary Jones. We also spoke with students from Skullnáisiúnta Corcluck, who told us about their beach cleanups and their organic garden and the hard work that they are doing to protect our environment every day. We will hear from Olivia Jones, the Clean Coasts Coordinator in the Northwest region, who will give us a little bit of information on how to get involved safely in beach cleanups and how to enjoy the process along the way. We'll also hear from Noreen Lyons of Ongarjean Organic Garden and Ecology Centre. Noreen will tell us the story of Ongarjean and give us a little advice on how to get involved in some organic gardening at home. To start today's episode, we're going to hear from Alison, a student from Skullnáisiúnta Corcluck. Recently, Alison told me all about their organic garden, how they manage it, how they look after it, and why they enjoy it. Here is what Alison had to say.
We grow flowers, vegetables and herbs, and we have potatoes, carrots, parsnips, and we have cabbage, lettuce, peas, fennel and garlic and onion. But right before the summer holidays, our garden is leanta, filled with loads and loads of fresh vegetables. And we pick them all, a group of us will pick them all, and we'll wash them and put them in salad bags for families in school. Each family gets a big bag full of vegetables. We're also very lucky to have Angela Healy, a local organic gardener, and she helps us, and she comes to the school and she teaches us all about weeding and watering and how to take care of them properly. I think my favourite thing about gardening is looking after them and watering with friends and stuff like that. Each classroom has a compost bin, small compost bin, and at the end of the day, we'll gather it all and we'll put it into our big compost bin outside beside the polytunnel. We use this rich compost to help with our flowers, and each year we'll rotate the beds. So maybe this year the carrots will be in raised bed 1 and next year they might be in raised bed 2 or raised bed 3. I think it's important because it teaches us where our own food comes from, and it teaches us to have responsibility over stuff. To keep our vegetables healthy, we use local seaweed, horse manure and our own compost. It's all broken down into smaller bits, and before you set them, you'll spread it all over it, and they'll soak up all the moisture and everything so that they'll grow healthier and properly. Last year, the senior pupils made soup. They made us feel really responsible that we can grow everything by ourselves and the help of friends.
Thank you so much, Alison, for speaking with us and filling us in on all that you were doing in your organic garden. And on that note, we're joined now by Noreen Lyons from Ongarjean Organic Garden and Ecology Centre. Noreen, thank you so much for being with us on Hours to Protect.
Yeah, Fáilte, you're very welcome, Lauren.
Ongarjean is an organic garden and an ecology centre. I know in 1994, a small group of Mercy Sisters in the Clonfert Diocese in Galway came together to kind of find new ways of expressing commitment to planet Earth. So can you tell us a little bit about the background of Ongarjean?
Yeah, sure. I suppose, it was the early 1990s. And it was a time when there was, an awakening, if you like, generally. Awareness of that human behaviour really was threatening the very existence of life on planet Earth. And it was the time of the first COP, actually, around that time. And a certain percentage of people were very aware of climate change and the threat it was posing. We realised our disconnection personally from land and from the land. And so I suppose a big focus was how we now relate to this little piece of land here, 2 acres, and how we connect with that. And that's what that led us to organic horticulture. It led us to tree planting. It led to hedge growing and teaching all of that as well. And then in terms of more specifically energy in the geothermal heating system, which was quite, new and radical at the time, So we installed that. It's still working very well here nearly 35 years later, more. And then later we built a little education centre, and we also did that as ecologically as we possibly could at the time, using second-hand materials, second-hand building reconstructed. Everything about it was as ecological as we could be at the time. And then I suppose you're talking about young people. We've worked with schools, primary schools, and a bit with post-primary. Now, last year we find the local post-primary coming in, and we do the universe story with them. Now, I don't know if you're aware of the universe story, but we believe that all our behaviour comes from our story, or what we tell about ourselves, what we believe about ourselves as a human species. In other words, we believe that we are at the head of the pyramid, that all other life is beneath us, and it's for us. And it's for us to, as we have done, abuse and use and exploit. So we call that the extractive economy. That so we can plunder. It's there for our use. Now, we might say, no, we don't believe that. We mightn't believe it, but that's actually how we're behaving as a species, no matter what we say in our heads. And the alternative to that is, that's a story of extraction, if you like. That's a story of exploitation. What the universe story, if that program that we have, tells us that we are a species among species. We are interconnected. We are interdependent. We are no more important, actually. Some people find that that hard to take. We are a species among species, but each species is unique and we are unique.
Do you feel that it's important to instill that mentality at a younger age, that we are interconnected and that we rely on the environment as much as it relies on us?
It's absolutely essential. You know, there's a heart connection there. We have Sean Ronayne, you probably know of him, and he talks about as a child, he had that heart connection. He saw, he experienced the life of the birds especially, but the insects and the animals and that around him as his community. Now, we're far away from that, but that was his gift. And I suppose he's a prophet for us, as is Mongon began, where, you know, he had a lifelong, since he was young, heart connection with the land. And unless we have that, I think, you know, our programs need to come out of that. Our work with young people need to come out of that. And you ask the question, is it important for young people? It is so important, you know. And I think obviously the head connection is not changing anything. The knowledge we gain is not, I mean, we know what we're doing, but we don't seem to be able to do something about it, really. So I think with young people, that needs to be the starting point. I think the universe story, that we'll call it a ritual, it's a program. It really awakens us to just how connected we are, how interconnected. We harvest the rainwater, but we found we were harvesting it from our new centre, you know, and we had two major underground tanks. You think they would do forever, but we've been having droughts. Well, this year we were lucky enough that the very dry weather and hot weather didn't last too long until we got rain and then another dry spell and then rain. But that hasn't happened for the last few years, and we're bordering on droughts and had droughts. And so we had to add more from another roof. We had to get in other tanks, not underground, the additional ones, they're overground, to supply the garden, really. Very important part of your garden, of course, is your pond or your wet area. It didn't necessarily be a big pond at all. A wet area to promote life there, and for the newts and the frogs and the birds, we find that some of them, you know, coming down to the garden, to the pond, and it's lovely for the birds as well. They do their bathing there, and so I think every school should have a little wet area, and the amount of life that's there. I mean, it's amazing. The young people are really captivated by nature. I suppose we culturalize or we educate our young people out of nature, if you like. That's what our systems do. Young people have a natural instinct, a natural connection with nature. We all know that. But we too soon put the socks and shoes on and try to keep them clean and don't let them mess around. And when we do let them mess around, don't they just love it?
If you were to advise any parents or teachers on maybe how to encourage kids to get out into the garden, into organic, you know, encourage that instinct within them, would you have any advice?
Well, I suppose the only advice is get out there and do it. And you might think yourself, oh, sure, I'm not equipped to do it. Or listen, get out and do it. You'll find that you are. And there's help everywhere nowadays. Start small. That would be a big bit of advice. Start small. A lot of people, including myself indeed and others, you know, you go too big and then you get discouraged. So we would always say to people who've been doing the organic courses here to start small and get on top of that. And then you learn as you go along. I wouldn't wait until I'm an expert at all.
Just get into it and give it a go.
Just get into it. Get into it. Take the first steps. You're starting in a garden in school, you know, start in the autumn, the previous autumn. Get your plot ready. And there are lots of, I suppose, YouTube now opportunities and gardening course opportunities, just to give you step-by-step way to prepare the garden, the plot in the autumn. And not to leave it, you know, so that you're building up. If it's a place that has been maybe denuded of nutrients, and so you might want to sort of build up your beds so that they're absorbing nutrients right through the winter from what you add in terms of natural material, compost and so on.
And for anyone that may have a small plot of land and they want to plant something, and like you're saying, start small and don't get discouraged, what would be your number one starting vegetable or plant that you would recommend to any beginning organic gardener?
I think probably not to go into maybe brassicas straight away, because they're more slug prone. I suppose the good old spud and onions might be simple enough. Yeah, I'd start with those two, I think. If you wanted to do something kind of fast, I'd maybe do it in a box first. The lettuce and the salads and that, you know. I do those in a box scheme, I think, box and tubs rather than outdoor for a start.
Once you can kind of reap the rewards of your labour at the beginning, is it sort of a bug that you get then that you want to continue on with?
For some it is, yeah. And the excitement and there's a fulfillment from, you know, seeing something grow from the tiniest little seed to something you can put on the plate, and to see the various stages of growth. And it's just marvellous, really. And helping the children to observe the various stages as well.
We've heard a lot about Ongar Jean there and the fabulous work that you're doing, and that I'm hoping some people will hear and think, I want to do a little bit of that. So thank you so very much for joining us.
You're very welcome indeed. Yeah, very welcome.
Whilst down in Scolnáisiún the Corkluck, I also spoke to Pádraig, who told me a little bit about the beach cleanup that they recently took part in. Here's what Pádraig had to say.
When we were cleaning up, we found loads of rubbish, like tires, knives, plastic, and even a big cardboard box. It's not nice how to take care of the ocean. The ocean takes really good care of us, but we don't take good care of the ocean.
And what can we do to take care of the ocean?
Clean up all the rubbish that's on the beach and in the water. To see all the dead stuff washed up on the shore, it's not really nice. When we were cleaning up the beach, we also found like it was a big fish and there was loads of wire, like sheep wire and fish wire copter wrapped around it. We also found a, we saw another one a few steps away. Thank God that he was still alive, so we helped him.
Thank you very much, Porrick, for filling us in on your beach cleanup and what you thought about it. On the topic of beach cleanups, we are joined now by Olivia Jones, Clean Coasts Coordinator of the Northwest Region. Olivia, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to speak to you, Olivia. We recently spoke with students from Scolnáis Uintir Chairclach down in Erris in County Mayo, and they told us a little bit about their beach cleanup that they took part in. What we sensed from the students was that a little bit goes a long way. Is that kind of the mentality that you guys have in Clean Coasts?
Absolutely. I suppose our Clean Coasts is all about engaging communities to help and protect and care for Ireland's coastline, our marine environment and inland waterways. And it's all about simple, no cost, easy measures that anyone, you know, on the coast can take part in. So whether that be a cleanup or getting involved with one of our many campaigns that they in their own homes can stop producing as much waste that can sometimes end up on our coastline. And then we also engage with other communities as well, the business communities, sports groups, the fishing community, anyone that has an impact on the coast or uses the coastline. We engage them in conversation and try to work together to make the coastline a better place.
How can people get involved?
Absolutely. Well, the easiest way to get involved with Clean Coasts is to check out our website, which is cleancoasts.org. You can register as a group, whether you're, like I mentioned, a community, a business, a school, even an individuals have registered as Clean Coasts groups. And we have regional officers in all the various areas in Ireland. So specifically for Mayo, I would be the officer there, and I would get in contact with you and help you set up, find out a little bit about you, what part of the coastline you're interested in adopting and looking after. And I would give you all the guidance that would kind of get you on your way to adopting that coastline and looking after, whether you're looking to organise cleanups or perhaps you want to learn a little bit about the biodiversity or the types of habitats that are down there. We kind of tailor our programme to suit the groups and their needs.
So once a group is set up with you, how do they go about safely getting up and running with a beach cleanup? Do they have to go out and purchase equipment or how does it work?
No. So we once they set up as a Clean Coast group, they register under our programme and then we will send them out kit. So bags, gloves, litter pickers, hi-vis, vests. And then we also send them out a guidance document on how to go about initiating a cleanup. Because sometimes that can be the first step is the most daunting step. Just how do I actually do this and who do I need to contact? So they may need to contact the local authority, Mayo County Council, to come and pick up the litter. They might need to check if the area they're cleaning is commonage or it's a landowner, you know, and then there's a risk assessment included in the guidance documents that will cover all the health and safety aspects as well. So they'll be well covered if they go through that. And speaking to myself or any of the other regional officers, you know, we're there to help and no question, it's too challenging. And if we don't know the answer, we'll put them in contact with the person that does. So we're really there as the conduit for communities on the ground to help them kind of implement action along the coast, whether that's a cleanup, like I mentioned, or even planning another type of environmental event.
This may sound like a very basic question, Olivia, but what is the benefit of getting involved in a beach cleanup?
Oh, there's so many benefits, I suppose. The obvious one is, you know, caring for the environment and caring for your community and leaving it looking and feeling better than it did before. Sometimes, you know, you can visit a beach and you can get a little bit frustrated if there's a lot of litter washing up, you know, and it's great just to take that action and carry out a cleanup. And it's good for ourselves as well. You know, it's very social. You can meet a lot of people through beach clean initiatives, existing groups, or if you form a group, and it's really good for our well-being as well. You know, you're out in the fresh sea air, you're listening to the nature, to birds around you chattering, and just, yeah, there's so many different benefits on lots of different levels and just socially for the community as well. You know, not just individually and environmentally, but for everyone living in that community, there are benefits that go beyond just picking the litter off the beach, you know, that people are still only researching and finding the benefits of now.
And are children able to get involved?
Absolutely. We've lots of schools and scout groups involved in Clean Coast. So if there is a group out there and they'd like to get involved like that, you can still register through our website, cleancoast.org. We actually have a really good way to kind of get started into Clean Coast without feeling like you have to sign up as a fully formed Clean Coast group. You can join us for our big beach clean, which will be in September, the third week in September. And that is every year we host a big beach clean. So basically it's cleanups all over Ireland. And you can just pick that one day to get involved and organise a cleanup with your community or just as an individual or a school. And that will kind of give you a taste if it's something that you want to pursue. But we put no pressure on communities. We understand that everyone's a volunteer. You know, everyone's lives are so busy. So even if you're just carrying out a 2-minute beach clean or you're getting stuck in every week, you can do as little or as much as you want and we'll be there to support you.
In Clean Coasts, how important do you think it is for young people to get involved in the beach cleaning process and just become more climate conscious?
Oh, it's so important. Like the song goes, the children are our future, you know. So I know my own kids, like they love being out on the beach. I've been out with many schools that don't want to leave the beach until every last scrap of litter is gone. And they just get such a joy from it. And they're learning a little bit about the habitats when they're down there. So that's instilling pride when they know a specific type of bird or lizard even that might live in the dunes or in the rock pools. So it's, you know, enticing them to go back down and keep that area clean. So it's really important for young people to engage with their coastline, with their beaches, and to protect them because, you know, they are our custodians going forward. So we're very, very happy to have young people involved in the Clean Coast programme.
Very true indeed. Olivia Jones, thank you so very much for joining us. That's Olivia Jones, Clean Coasts Coordinator of the North West Region. Thank you again for being with us.
Thank you.
Recently, we spoke with students from Holy Trinity National School in Westport who received the Rising Star Award in the Our World Awards for their project titled A Better World. They investigated and examined the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, also known as the SDGs, and they focused on how global challenges like poverty and access to clean water and, of course, climate change can be tackled both locally and globally. Here's what they had to say on some of the work that they completed to receive this award.
It's basically about like what we can do better and like what we're doing in our town to like help. Just like how like things we could do to help the environment or like what we can improve and what we've already done and like all that.
We made a book on like all the SDGs we have accomplished in our town and what we want to accomplish in our town and school.
We have like an edible like garden out there. We did some work with edible landscapes. We did the Crow's Foot Trail and we are trying to learn how to crochet like animals and then we're going to sell them to make money for charity.
Do you see a lot of examples of sustainable development around the town?
We have a tidy town statue at Fairgreen Street and it's for tidy towns cleaning up our town.
And is there anything else that stands out to you?
There is like water fountains so you don't have to buy plastic bottles around the town. So you can just fill up your old ones.
And there's stickers on like a few of the shops around the town that you can fill your bottles up in.
Ye got a big award, didn't she? Do you want to tell me about that?
We got an award for Rising Stars for like being the first time entry prize.
So it's important to look after our environment and our local surroundings, isn't it?
We made like a box of and like if you pick up a bottle or if you have a bottle in school, you just put it in there so then we can like bring them back to the shops and collect the money for the ocean cleanup.
Out the cave we went, two of us went out and had a look at there's the gardens out the cave and it's the community gardens and they plant loads of flowers and different plants around the town and in the garden centre.
A really cool thing about the sunflowers is the pots are compostable, so you just plant it into the ground and they like disintegrate.
We also did picker pals. It was like a litter picking thing where we went around like every time and you'd go out with your like family, you'd go around like your area where you live and you'd like go around and get a bag, just like start litter picking.
Congratulations to all students involved in Holy Trinity National School on the excellent work that they completed. to receive the reward. They mentioned that they took part in the Picker Pals program. Joining us now is Gary Jones, Picker Pals program manager. Picker Pals is a campaign run by Voice, certainly one that we want to hear all about. Gary, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Lauren. Thanks for having me.
So can you explain to us, Gary, to all our listeners, what is the Picker Pals program?
Sure thing. So Picker Pals is a free environmental education programme from Voice Ireland. It's for primary and special schools. And the idea is that we're inspiring young children to lead their families on litter picking adventures in their local communities. So how it works is that each classroom that's taken part receives a picker pack with enough litter picking equipment for one child at a time to bring home for the weekend and lead their family on the litter pick. After that, they bring the pack back to school and they tell their classmates how to get on before a new child gets the pack to bring home for their turn. It runs like this all year, and we back up the litter picking part of the programme with a year's worth of online lessons on Zoom, where we teach a whole range of environmental topics like biodiversity, recycling, the SDGs and loads more. We also run everything through English and Irish, so Gael schools are welcome as well.
Is there a cost on schools to take part?
No, it's absolutely free. And that's the big message we want to put out there. We're very fortunate to see the Department of the Environment and lots of local authorities, including Mayo County Council, who've been great for us now in the last few years, have sponsored us. We also have some corporate sponsorship too. So it's free for schools to take part. The main issue is that oftentimes that we actually run short on spaces. So we always encourage teachers to sign up as early as they can.
Fabulous. I know the Holy Trinity National School in Westport took part. They recently won their Rising Star Award in the Our World Awards, and they mentioned that they were part of the Picker Pals programme. Are there many schools in County Mayo taking part currently?
There are tons of schools. So first of all, we are delighted with the Holy Trinity School. They are superstars in Picker Pals. This year, we had 36 schools in County Mayo taking part. But altogether, in the last 5 years, we've had over 150 taking part. So it's been very popular in Mayo, and we're always anxious to have more classes and new schools, particularly who haven't taken part. See, it's very important, I suppose, from our perspective, to catch children when they're very young and when their ideas and their attitudes to the environment are so impressionable. So we see Picker Pals as a way of creating a lifelong sense of environmental responsibility, because the magic of the programme really is that the children love getting their hands on that pack and bringing it home and being, I suppose, for want of a better word, they get to be the boss in the family. And very often it's the first time such a young child would be the boss, and they're telling their parents, no, have to do this for school now. And we're going out, and they pick up their litter and they get seen in the community in their big high-vis jackets with Picker Pals written on the back, and they get a sense of pride from that. And then the idea is that the idea soaks into their mind that they can make a good contribution to the environment, and then that it will stick with them as they grow up.
So essentially you're sowing the seed early.
Absolutely, yes. Good analogy there. Yeah, good nature one.
Oh, thank you very much. So speaking of the packs, Gary, what do schools get in the pack?
Yeah, so there's a load of lovely stuff in the pack. The core of it is we call it the picker pack. So it's an over-the-shoulder bag that the child will have an adult and a child-size litter picking stick in. There's also adult and child-size high-vis jackets and gloves. There's also two stacks of books. They're little reader books and activity books about the environment and about the little animals. They're called the Picker Pals, I suppose, of which the programme is named after. The idea was that these little animals are very relatable and the kids enjoy reading about them. They come down from a special island up in the sky called Picaropolis, and they pick up litter and they teach the people around them why it's a good idea not to be thrown litter in the first place. And the idea behind that then is that children become very familiar with the programme. They like thinking about the Picker Pals characters, and they then are more inclined to obviously go out and pick up litter themselves. So that's in the box that arrives into the classroom. And then, like I mentioned earlier on top of that, we have a year-long programme of online teaching. So on a monthly basis, we'll send out an email to all the teachers that are taking part, and we'll tell them what the theme for the month is. So it could be, you know, the theme is litter, or the theme could be biodiversity. And along with that, then there'll be a lesson for them. There'll be a date that they can sign up for where they can have me maybe on the screen in the classroom and I'll be teaching. There'll be videos on YouTube about it. So there's a whole multimedia program that they get.
It's fantastic. And do you guys see the impact? Is there a good response to the project?
Oh, it's a huge response. So like I mentioned earlier, the kids love getting the pack, obviously. So that's one of the main bits of feedback that the teachers tell us at the end of every year, is that the excitement for the program, it's very rare in that it doesn't diminish as the year goes on. Most programs that the teachers would run in classrooms, you know, they have a phase of the year that they'll run through and then you move on. But with Picker Pals, because each child only gets their turn once every few weeks, really, because it has to, the pack has to cycle through the class, it kind of keeps the excitement going. Because even when a child isn't the one who has the pack, every week they're hearing from one of their classmates who has had the pack and where they went and who they went with and what they found. And then I suppose throughout the year as well, then when we see the photos, we get tons of photos coming to us from schools. We see families out all over the country. And we also run competitions as well for art and storytelling about litter picking, and the enthusiasm for them doesn't drop over the course of the year. And our hope is then that the children who've been picker pals in 1 year of school will go forward as they get older and want to be involved in other environmental topics.
So I know by trade you're a primary school teacher yourself, Gary, and you're very passionate about environmental education for young people. Why is that?
It's the world we're in, I suppose, at the moment is one where you can't really ignore the environment. And if you wanted, I suppose, to look on the positive side of the environmental conversation at a time in the world when things can be so negative, you know, with global warming and all manner of things that are going on, the ray of sunshine really is always the next generation coming up and children. I suppose if you catch the kids when they're young, you've basically planted the seed in the next generation of good behavior and good attitudes. So it's really a nice way to kind of spend your job doing it, looking after the next generation's attitudes to the environment.
Very much so. If you were given advice to parents on maybe how to broach the topic of climate change, being more conscious of the environment, is there any advice that you would give to parents, or even maybe resources that they could rely on to educate their children without frightening them?
Yeah, that is a really good question. And as you were asking me the question, I was thinking how to do it without frightening kids, because it is a thing that I saw in the school that I used to work in, was that some kids who are quite deep thinkers, and there's many kids who think about things on a deep level, the whole idea of climate change is so big and it can be very intimidating and quite scary. So it is something that isn't to just be brushed over lightly or said without thinking about the consequences. So I suppose Voice, who I work with, and Picker Pals, that's our program, our website is full of more campaigns than just Picker Pals in its own right. We have a whole load of other environmental campaigns. That's a nice place to go. We've also been very lucky to partner with lots of other agencies from the Irish Environmental Network. The way you phrased that question was actually the way parents should be thinking, is that it can be quite a serious topic for kids, and it shouldn't be something that's just taken lightly and assumed that just because they're children, they won't be having thoughts about it. The best way to stop fear and to stop a kind of a sense of helplessness and despair is to feel that you've got an active stake in actually making a contribution towards it.
I know you mentioned Voice, which is, of course, the charity that you're working for, an Irish environmental charity. Can you give us a brief idea, I suppose, of the work that Voice does?
Yeah, so we have a lot of different campaigns. I suppose Voice's main message is all around waste reduction in particular in Ireland. So Picker Pals is the one, I suppose, that deals with waste from an educational point of view for young children, and the idea being that if they've started by picking up litter when they were younger, then they're already tuned into waste in general. We have lots of other ones. We have one at the moment called Threads of Transparency, and that's all about fast fashion and the consequences of having easy access to lots of cheap clothes and ways then to shop differently. We have another one called Waste Not Want Not, which is about food waste, which is pioneered down in Clonakilty in County Cork. We have the reusable cups project for coffee cups. We've Sick of Plastic, National Recycling Bin Survey. So it's all waste themed, which we believe really is very important, because one of the biggest problems in the world, I suppose, today is overconsumption, and the fact that we have everything more or less in countries like Ireland and in Europe and America. We have everything at our fingertips if we want it, but everything is so disposable and it just gets thrown away and it builds up into piles. So Voice that's our mission, is to reduce consumption and reduce waste.
And it's certainly an important cause. Gary, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your information with us on Picker Pals. I'm sure there's going to be very eager teachers getting in touch with you as September rolls on and the year is flying, so we're getting there quickly. Gary Jones, thank you so much, the Picker Pals programme manager, for joining us this morning.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
And that is about all we have time for in this month's episode of Ours to Protect. Thank you so much to all our contributors to this month's episode. Ours to Protect is funded by Comisiún na Meán with the television licence fee and is a partnership between Midwest Radio and the IBI. You can join us back here on the Tommy Maron Show, brought to you by Westport Estate, next month for our fourth episode of Ours to Protect.